And we're joined now by DeMar DeRozan. And DeMar, for you personally, I know it was a busy off season and a busy summer. Before we get to the basketball, first of all, congratulations. And how is fatherhood to this point in changing you as a person, and certainly changing your sleep habits, I would guess?
Definitely great, man. Having a daughter is definitely a beautiful thing, man. I wouldn't trade it in for the world. You know, it means a lot. You know, just to go through the whole experience. You know, seeing my daughter born, you know, it just stripped me out. But, you know, just being a father just put everything in perspective, you know. And with me personally, it just made me that much, you know, hungry as a person, you know, to be better at every aspect of, you know, life.
Improve your focus, DeMar? I mean, DJ Augustine talked about that when he came into the league, and, you know, you have no control over the situation you go to, but, you know, all of a sudden things start to change. You get a family, you know, he said he's got a young child too. What does it do to your focus all of a sudden when you think, man, I'm responsible for, it's not just me anymore?
Like I said, you know, it puts everything in perspective, and you know, you really understand what you're doing it for, you know. And it show you what type of man you really are, you know, especially with me having to grow up so fast each year. And, you know, now having a daughter, being a father, just puts everything in perspective. Yeah. Knowing, you know, I come last, you know, everything I do is for her, you know, make sure she's comfortable, she's have everything she need, you know, all that. You know, that's my number one, you know, priority in life, and make sure she's comfortable. And with having her, you know, just help me understand everything else that much better.
Now, on the floor for you then, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but I'm going to guess that sort of, you can bring that same sort of focus and drive to the basketball floor then, because as much as you do everything for her and you live for her, you also have a team still, and you have a job still, and you got to focus on that. And how much does that maybe impact you then as a player on the floor, the focus and the attention to detail that you then bring to the floor going forward with this sort of new attitude, this eye-opening experience in a sense?
It definitely carries over, without a doubt. You know, it carries over, and, you know, you being more vocal, you understanding what you have to do on the court, you know, it all comes with years. And, you know, I think everything you go through in life, you know, helps you that much more, you know, whatever you do. You know, with me, it's basketball, you know. So I definitely think it's for sure going to carry over.
DeMar, talk to me about your time in Toronto. After the first year, it's been down, and then everything's come up a little bit. What are you most excited about this year? Because everybody's talking with the changes made in the East. And, yeah, some teams got better in the East, but, you know, from, let's say, 5 through to 12, there's a lot of teams in there, and people are already looking at, you know, Miami, Indiana, those teams, New York, Brooklyn. But in the next group, and as DJ Augustine said, you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. What are you most looking forward to in trying to, you know, grab one of those spots up there, maybe 6, 7, 8?
What I'm mostly looking at is just a new start for us, having a full training camp. You know, a lot of us been here for 2-3 weeks now, being able to play pickup, you know, work out together, just be around each other. You know, this time around, just have a new start, you know. Forget what everybody's saying, what all the critics saying, people doubting us, having us the underdogs or whatever. It's just everything is on us from here on out. Whatever we do on the court, our work ethic, all depends on us. And we understand, just like last year, we can play with anybody in this league. You know, we proved it. We done showed people. It don't matter. You can match us up with anybody. We can play. Only thing, we just got to be consistent with it, night in and night out.
How much did the start last year really affect things? Because the second half of the season, you guys were a lot more successful. You seemed to establish an identity. But kind of that first 20 games, just getting into that hole from an early point and how that maybe kind of derailed things right from the get-go.
Yeah. I mean, last year we definitely dug ourselves in a hole and jumped in a hole and laid there and was trying to figure a way out, you know. And you know, who knows if we would have won half them games that we lost, it would have been a different story at the end of the day, you know, especially the way we started playing after we made the trade, everything. But, you know, that's the past. But, you know, we just can't dig ourselves a hole and expect our talents to fight us back. And, you know, before you know it, it's too late. You know, we just got to jump out the gate and understand, you know, it's panic mode from game one, and that's how we got to approach every game. You know, we can't take it for granted, no matter if we're tired, if this, if we play in a team that's not better, whatever. We just got to take advantage of every single game, because at the end of the season, you know, that's what it's going to come down to.
DeMar, you talk about that, and it's interesting because we had Aaron Gray on, and Aaron was talking about that too, the same thing. He said that, you know, there's only three of you left here from the lockout season, and you guys have seen that, how you need to get off to a start, as you said, that sense of urgency. How much do you think the other guys, I mean, you know, a guy like Tyler Hansbrough or DJ Augustine, they understand that coming from playoff teams, but some of the new guys, how much do you think, what do you think you have to do to get them to understand that, hey, look, this game on November 3rd is just as important on the one as April 3rd?
I think that's where it starts at when we're in training camp. You know, I think it starts with drills. It starts with, you know, the approach on the defensive end when we're going through training camp. You know, it starts with all that and understanding possessions, stops, you know, everything. You know, all through this week, I think that's where it starts and help you understand. It's that much bigger once games get involved. You know, a game could come down to a rebound. You know, how many games last year it came down to a rebound, whatever it may be. And, you know, I think we really got to just force the issue this week in training camp and throughout preseason and get everybody to understand we can't take a play or our possession off.
All right, last one for you here. I know you know of the announcement that went down earlier today with the NBA All-Star Game 2016 coming to Toronto and the new role for Drake going forward as well, global ambassador for the Raptors. What do you make of that? I'm sure you're a fan of his music and everything else, but just the involvement of Drake and just the culture overall and the connection that there is with whether it be the hip-hop industry, whether it be the entertainment aspect that goes along with basketball and the you know, that sort of new partnership going forward. You see it with what Jay-Z had with the Nets. You see it in Los Angeles with the connection with so many different celebs and having a different face kind of representing this team and trying to bring it to a different level.
Yeah, I definitely think it's definitely a great thing. You know, I talked to Drake earlier, and, you know, I really think it's a cool thing, and I think it's definitely going to help us. You know, you look around the league, everybody has their guy there. You know, in L.A., obviously, you have all type of people there and everything. Shout out to Rudy Gay, man.
You know that.
But you know, you look at it like Brooklyn had Jay-Z, you know, really pushing them, always, you know, saying their name in a song or whatever it may be. You know, little stuff like that goes a long way, and just for us to have a somebody who like Drake, who's been representing the country for so long, to be backing us, that's definitely big.
Hour number two from Raptors Media Day continues. Thanks again to DeMar DeRozan for joining us. Hopefully you had a chance to tune into that one and to hear him. And joining us right now as we continue here till 3:30, point guard Kyle Lowry. Good to see you, Kyle.
Good to see y'all too. But who wore these headphones before I got them?
DeMar. That was DeMar.
Got a big head, huh?
Just grab the ears and give it a push down.
Yeah, I'm just going to hold this like this.
Now, Dwayne Casey was saying, he was with us about 10, 15 minutes ago. He said one of the things that he was most impressed with was you and your commitment in the offseason to just getting yourself back healthy, getting in shape, getting into the gym. Talk to me about your offseason and everything that you did.
I got an opportunity to go into the offseason without being injured, not needing surgery, not having any nicks or nacks where, you know, I basically had to rehab them. I got a new training regimen. I had a great strength trainer this summer, had a great workout coach this summer. I got an opportunity to get back to doing what I love to do, and that's work extremely hard and work to exhaustion, and I did it all summer.
So your fitness level has improved, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the baseline for you. What other things did you work on?
Just everything. The aspect, you know, the three-point shooter. I want to be even more of a potent three-point shooter. I worked on getting to the basket and finishing. I worked on, you know, me being stronger as an individual, going to the basket, finishing at the basket, not looking for contact, just, you know, making those tricky layups, just making layups where, hey, you know, wow, he made that layup, but, you know, it's one of the things I worked on.
What do you look back to last year saying, this is what went well and this is what I was happy with, B, this didn't go well, and this is what I was unhappy with. There's probably more of B than A, but you know what I mean? Because it was a frustrating year.
I wasn't unhappy. I mean, personally, I wasn't happy with my year last year at all. I was disappointed in myself. But this year, you know, I've dedicated the summer to our team and to the city of Toronto to be the best player I can possibly be. And I think a lot of the guys have done the same thing.
what worked?
Yeah.
Give me something good about that.
Say, there were
even
some,
if it wasn't you first.
When Rudy came, and we talked to Steve Novak about this, when the trade was made and Rudy came in, after the 4-19 start with a little boost from Rudy, you guys
played
in 59 games were a game over 500.
Yeah. Rudy gives us unbelievable talent. I think that last month of April, I think we won 8-1 or 7-1, and the way we played, you know, we played so just effortlessly. But, you know, it looked effortlessly, but we played so hard and played together. It was just fun. You know, we just knew where we were going to be, knew where guys were going to get shots at.
So Kyle, how do you counteract the people that say, well, they were out of it, there was no pressure, they were playing free, and those games, quote, don't really count?
Well, they count at the end of the day. You know, we were playing a lot more freer, but we played with a lot more confidence. We didn't know, you know, we had a lot of question marks last year going into the season, midway through the season. We had a lot of question marks. And when we got to a point where we didn't have any more question marks, you know, guys were just like, hey, let's roll, let's do this, let's just play. And, you know, guys got it going. JV gotten a lot better throughout the year. Amir, you know, Rudy and DeMar kind of got on the same page. Myself and those guys got on the same page. So it was a lot easier for us to play.
How big was it for you to have Dwayne Casey coming back as well? And the reason I ask that, I don't mean just you, the entire team. Just have the continuity of not constant rollover and change year after year.
Well, you know what you're getting into from day one. You know what your philosophies are. You know what, you know, camp is going to be like. When you have that and you got eight or nine guys coming back from last year, it makes training camp, it makes the transition into the next season a lot smoother.
What's your relationship like with him? Because, you know, you've heard the stuff over the last year or so where, oh, do they get along? Do they not get along? Of course they get along. They're great. What I mean? You hear all the chatter, and a lot of that stuff might be in the media. But what's your relationship with him?
He's coach and I'm player. At the end of the day, you know, he's a great guy. You know, I'm a player, and I'm going to play for a great coach and a great guy. It's one of those situations where, hey, you know, he's the coach, so everyone has to listen to the head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, last year it took us a few things, you know, took a time to get on the same page. And once the trade was made to make me the full-time star, I think we got on a better page, a better better same wavelength.
Kyle, how much did you talk to coach over the summer? And how much did you get a chance to work out with some of the guys?
Well, I personally didn't get to talk to coach as much this summer. This was a summer for me personally. I got a lot of things done. I had a lot of things going on. I got, you know, just a lot of things at home I was doing. I got the chance to work out with the guys once, you know, as a group. But for me, it was, you know, for me to be a better individual to help the team. You know, it wasn't nothing, hey, I want to get better, to dedicate myself to the team and to the city. So as an individual, I got better.
We were talking to DeMar off the top about him becoming a father for the first time and having a young daughter. I know you've talked to us in the past about your son.
And
how much, looking back to when you first became a father, did that even change you as a person, let alone as a player? And now with your son being a little bit older, to where you are now and the type of mentality maybe that it allows you to bring to the floor that you carry over from your home life?
Well, he's two now, so, you know, they say the terrible twos. But I would never say that about my son. So, but I think with DeMar, it helps a lot. You know, it calms you down. It makes you realize a different perspective of life. You're not living for yourself anymore. You're living for another individual. For me, you know, my son is my life. You know, that's everything I do. I don't care about anything else, you know, really, but my son and my family. For him, it brings you, for every father that plays a game, and everyone can attest to this, it just brings a different level, hey, look, at the end of the day, I got to go out here and provide for my kid. But at the day, if I have a bad game, I forget about it. I go home, see my beautiful kids or children, and I come back the next day with a fresh start, because they're going to wake you up the next day, and you're going to be like, I got to smile because this is my kid, and I'm happy.
Well, listen, that's probably a good way to end it right there. Look forward to chatting over the course of the season. Best of luck this year.
Hey,
thanks, fellas.
Hold
appreciate
on a second.
It.
Yeah?
We got a number change.
Oh, yeah. Don't, you know, hey.
You went back to the seven, right?
Yeah, I went back to the seven. People didn't know, I wasn't always three. I went back to the seven personally because, you know, I got an opportunity to go back to, you know, seven. Things happen, things change, you know, the call.
How did you have to go through that with the NBA?
I guess when I seen the bottom line, I was like, oh, Paulie or Kevy, do this? I mean, we were waiting a little bit. Hey, but we had to do it quick because there was that time of the
year.
There's
a time, right?
It's a time frame, so I had to do it within, and they allowed it, so I had to pay a couple of dollars personally and get because the jerseys were made, so we had to pay for that, and that's it.
Well, now people can just be instant Lowry fans. They don't have to go buy a new jersey.
Tape it on the back. Tape Lowry on the back, you know, put a little duct tape or scotch tape, Lowry in the back.
There you go.
You know, we'll do it like that.
Duct tape.
There is Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors. Appreciate his time. And we continue on here from Raptors Media Day with Kyle Lowry, and we'll have much more from other guests joining us. I know Rudy Gay is going to stop by in a couple of moments' time. And, Jonesy, I think we've got the technical bugs worked out. Everybody back at the station and down here at the ACC working hard to make sure we're on the air, on the web right here, and no more Puck Daddy stuff right now as we continue on right here. And we've got a little bit of a lull in the action as we're waiting for some of the pictures to be taken. Guys are getting their photo ops and things done for the media guide and whatnot. So actually, you know what? Matt Devlin's going to come over and sit down for a second.
Put down the coffee and put on a headset, man.
I mean, he's too busy today hanging out with
Adam
Drake
Silver
and Adam
Drake
Silver and Rob Ford and Michael Chan
stage,
and,
yeah.
You know, whatever. He sits down to join us now. He's slumming it here with us.
Minister of what? Radio now?
No. I mean, first of all, it's always a pleasure to see both of you.
See, now you're just lying.
No. You know that. I talk to you guys so much anyway, so it's always great to see you. And look at, obviously, Eric Smith has turned into the TV star that he is because he now has a wardrobe to match. I have never seen him so sharp.
I put it on Twitter. I got him back in his real seat right now.
I mean, look at this. I mean, this is top-notch stuff.
Oh, I just got to wait till I get monogram cuffs like you guys and whatnot.
No, no, no.
I'm working to that.
I got nothing on mine. I can see the MD on Devlin's there.
The funniest thing about it, though, is that I was told specifically. I think
your stylist,
this, right?
Yeah.
The stylist says, your look is you can't do your tie-up.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's my look? Yeah, that's your look. So I don't ever want to see the tie done up, and if your jacket's off, your sleeves must be rolled. I'm not used to this whole world, you know?
Well, yeah, but you know what, though, sometimes you got to trust your own self and not worry about what the stylist says.
I trust that
says.
I look good, trust me.
Hey, Matt, back to some basketball.
Really?
You did some, yeah, a little bit. See you doing some games during the playoffs for the big network down south, but being a guy that's connected with Toronto, talk to me about the attitude toward Toronto around the league.
You know, it's a great topic. You and I have this conversation quite often.
Back of the plane, 11:30.
Absolutely. Eric.
Pass the salad dressing.
Exactly. It's a phenomenal city. You know, I choose to live here with my family. You know, we made that decision. We absolutely love it. I think, you know, all of our friends that are around us, you know, outside of the game understand how much, you know, we love it and appreciate it. And, you know, everybody always talks about, well, nobody wants to play here. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody. I've been in other markets, as you guys both know. And the reality of it is if you win, they'll come. And I was talking to Adam Silver recently. It wasn't this morning, but it was at another event when I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and we were having that discussion just about the platform, the national television platform in the United States. And as you recall, when Vince was here, you're on TNT, you were on ESPN a lot. And if you think back when the New York Knicks were struggling, number one market, they weren't on. How many people, and you know this, your brother Mark lives in South Florida. You know, when was Miami the destination for big-time people to come? It ultimately became that when LeBron said, hey, I'm coming. So that, you know, changed a lot of things. I think one of the marketplaces that's going to change in the near future is going to be Golden State. I think that's going to become a destination place.
Right.
But there's no reason why Toronto can't be one of those places. And I think that ultimately it will be. And
where does it start, Matt? A playoff appearance to start with?
I think you have to win. And we could talk about all the different dynamics of, you know, what does it take to win and, you know, when does this whole thing get going. There are players here, and we see Jonas Valanciunas walking this way. I think it starts with him on the inside. He's a young, dynamic player. He's going to be an all-star, I believe. He could be a 2016 all-star when the Raptors host it. But it starts now. The game continues to grow. We've talked about this so much, right? There's over 100 kids playing Division I basketball. We're going to have back-to-back picks in Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins in the NBA draft. It's all those things, and the Raptors have been pivotal to that. You talk to, you know, not only yourself, but Leo Routens. And he said, you know, Leo's like, when I was growing up, the Buffalo Braves were the closest connection that we had. Now you wake up, you see it, you hear you guys talking about it, you see us talking about it.
There's a TV station.
There's a TV, yeah, and everybody says, man, you know, this dream can come true.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to grow.
Matt, when you look ahead to this team this year with the new bodies, this is kind of one of the themes we've been hitting on over the course of the day so far. There's a lot of new faces, yeah, but the main guys, the main core, is coming back from next year. And that's something that, this isn't a knock on previous regimes or anything. There was turnover because there needed to be, but maybe one of the biggest assets going forward is the fact that there is chemistry and familiarity with the core guys, that it's not going to be, you hope, you assume, a learning out process for training camp, that you should be able to hit the ground running because you've got DeMar and Rudy and Kyle and Jonas and Amir and a bunch of guys that are familiar with each other's games right from the get-go.
Yeah, I don't think that they have time for a feeling out process. You got to hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And I think that if you go back to last season, I thought that that was a playoff team. I thought the 40 and 42 team was a playoff team. You can argue that when Sam got fired at 8-9, that team that I believe won 33 games that year was a playoff caliber team. In the East, I'm not going to get into the discussion of whether or not in the West, they're in the East. And so to me, it's, you know, imperative for this team to get off to a great start. I do think that there could be moves that will be made. But I think that you start with a Jonas Valanciunas in the middle and good things happen. And you got Rudy Gay walking up right now, which is always good to see him. So I'm going to exit stage left and I'm going to give it to Rudy because you'd rather hear from Rudy than me.
Well, Rudy goes left better than you. So
that is true. That is true.
I remember doing the shell drills with you in Minnesota, so I have a feeling he does go left better than you.
Well, let me tell you what. He does a lot of things better. You know what I mean? You put him down on the block. He had a couple of nice game winners. Yeah,
better?
Game winners.
He doesn't set
game
Matt
winners.
Devlin sets a mean
he
screen.
He does set a screen. Yeah.
I got bruises.
Yeah, you got the sharp elbows. Devlin's got the sharp elbows.
Rudy, you need to get open. Call Matt up.
Oh, yeah, he has a mean streak. Nobody knows that.
So Rudy Gay joins us now. Rudy, good to see you. I know you've talked a lot about this over the course of the summer, but I've got to ask you right off the bat. This laser eye surgery thing, and I hate for this to be a bad pun. It's not meant to be. But how eye-opening was it, literally and figuratively? People are bugging me all the time. You got to go get your eyes checked. I haven't been to the eye doctor in about 15, 20 years. I wouldn't know. I'd probably feel like the same way if I walked in tomorrow and got surgery. Man, suddenly there could be a whole new world in front of me. Was that what it was like for you? Like, you did not realize how, quote-unquote, blind you actually were until you had this thing done?
Yeah, I didn't realize how much uglier some of my teammates were until I got the surgery. No, but honestly, it was something that needed to happen. At that point, I didn't really know how bad it was until I actually got it checked. And it was definitely necessary. It was one of those things where, you know.
Who suggested it, Rudy?
It was our Alex McKechnie. He told me, he said, Rudy, you need to get it done. This is, you know, obviously your score. You need to have your eyes. So, you know, and
what tipped him off? Like, what had him come up to you and say, hey, man, you need to get your eyes checked? Like,
I mean,
we say that as a joke sometimes, but.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't even realize it until I tried to get my license, and they're like, well, your eyes are pretty bad. I was like, what? You know, all this, I'm a professional athlete. You know, I think I know, but I didn't. It basically came from, you know, just getting poked in my eye so many times and stuff like that. Because before that, I had no problem. So it's one of those things, man. You never know when it's going to happen, but it did. And I'm glad I got it over with. 2020 vision right now. And you know.
Have you noticed a difference in your summer workouts?
I have. I'm shooting the ball a lot better. Not that because of that. I put a lot of work into it. But that's the thing about it. You know, you have eye surgery. And if I come out and shoot 90% from three, everybody's like, oh, it's because his eyes are bad. Not because of the work he put in, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, I'm downplaying the eye surgery and playing up how much work I've been putting in. So.
All right, well, tell us about the work then. Forget the eyes. What type of work were you putting in? I know you were doing some work with Olajuwon over the summer and others, so tell us about it.
Yeah.
You put on some weight, too.
I put on about 15 to 20 pounds. You know, I'm at 252 right now. You know, I started 235 last year. But yeah, all good weight though. You know, it's one of those things where last year I had to sit out a couple games. It started as rehab because of my back last year, and you know, And it crushed me the fact that I had to sit out some of those important games last year when we were pushing to make the playoffs. And, mm-hmm. you know, I vowed never to let that happen again. And I started as, like I said, it started as a rehab thing. And got, you know, just started, you know, just getting addicted to it. And, you know, it's something that definitely I feel great. I feel quick. I feel explosive. Feel strong, most importantly, and I'm ready to go.
As Eric was saying, tell us about the work with Olajuwon.
Honestly, we didn't have to. We didn't have to touch the ball at all. You know, we just sat there and chopped it up. And he talked to me about my career and how he thought I can get better. And you know, it's crazy. You know how much, you know, just to chop it up with a guy like him, somebody that's done so many things for this league.
How good can this team be?
I think the sky's the limit. You know, with Jonas getting one year older. You know, I mean, he's just young. You know, it's. Some of the things he does out there, you don't think that he's as young as he is. He's so skilled and able to do so many things. You know, just having him just know where to be, know what spot I'm supposed to be at certain times, when to foul, when to try to challenge shots, when to, you know, set a screen, when to roll. All those things come from just experience. And the fact that he's 1 year older is going to make us a lot better.
Let me ask you something. I know their games are different, so I'm not comparing the player specifically, but more the path. When you go back to Memphis, to be patient, to wait for that big man, to be truly ready, to be waiting for Jonas to be ready to take that next step, much like you guys had to do with Marc Gasol,
right.
Where you see that there's potential to be a star and a big-time player, but you got to wait for it. I mean, how, as a teammate, do you kind of help bring a guy along, like you brought along a Marc Gasol, like you hopefully going to bring along a JV?
Yeah, I mean, basically with him, they're two totally different players. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, with respect to both of those guys, you know, JV's one of those, he's a relentless scorer. Marc is one of those guys that needs to control the game and kind of, you know, make plays for other people. But, you know, JV is just relentless, and he – you know, he doesn't back down from anybody, and that's one of the good things about him. And you know, sometimes you got to take that energy and put it into other things, and he'll learn that. It's nothing, but, you know, once you get a winning mentality, you know, everybody seems to get a little bit smarter with the game.
Rudy, you got a whole year here this year. Eric and I both remember the day that you were traded here. I mean, February 1st, and you had...
I do, too.
you had part of a season, and
right.
Everything was kind of on the go. There was always an adjustment. Everything was it was morphing, evolving as you went along. This year, you know, you're here, you're established, you got a place to live, like all those little things that...
People don't really realize what it takes just to, you know, getting... traded during the year. You know, obviously, even before I got traded here, I was going through a lot. I was flying from Memphis back to Baltimore because of the death of my grandmother, and, you know, just to be with her for a little bit before that time came, you know, for her to leave us. But, you know, it was a lot of that, a lot of traveling, you know, personal. I missed one game, I think, you know, so obviously I was dealing with that for about a month. I only missed one game, so that goes to show how much I was traveling and really dedicated to the team. On top of that, you know, getting traded, not having anywhere to stay at the time, you know, media, travel, just being an NBA player is a lot of travel. And, you know, it kind of wore me down to the point where, you know, at the end of the season, my back kind of gave out on me. So this year, just having everything set and having, having everything set in stone, knowing where I'm going to stay, knowing my routes to the gym and everything like that, it's going to be a lot different for me.
To that point, maybe the last one for you here. You came in and the city embraced you pretty quickly. You embraced the city pretty quickly, but you didn't have that chance really to maybe acclimate yourself as much as you might want to, as you did for years in Memphis.
Yeah.
Are you getting more of a sense of, not only, as you say, getting around the city, but that this is your city? And I know you were just out over the course of the weekend with your ride with Rudy and ride along with Rudy and stuff like that. Just kind of making Toronto your home that much more?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great city, man. And just going out to reach the people, you realize how much these the people around here really, really deserve a winning team. And, you know, I think it starts with day one camp.
Well, listen, we appreciate you stopping by today. I think you're going to be doing something else here in a couple moments with the guys on the radio station as well. So we'll step aside for them, but thanks for this, and we'll chat no doubt over the course of the season.
All right, Rudy.
There is Rudy Gay as we continue on from Media Day here at the ACC. Eric Smith and Paul Jones on Sportsnet590.ca.
We continue hour number two from Raptors Media Day. We've been joined by, I think, Jonesy, pretty much every member of the team so far, outside of the big man right here, and we've been talking a lot about him over the course of the day, Jonas Valanciunas. Jonas, good to see you again. Talk to me about your offseason. Very busy in terms of on and off the floor, but the work that you put in with the Lithuanian national team, let alone in some of your private workouts, and how you've prepared yourself for this season.
You know, my summer was really busy, and was a lot of basketball in my summer, and I worked a lot on many different skills, but I still need to work a lot. I'm looking forward to work with my teammates, my real teammates, Toronto Raptors, and looking forward to play the games.
Jonas, how do you keep your body rested? I mean, you had a great summer league, and then it was to the national team, and it was pretty intense, Eurobasket. And then now, you know, you start practice tomorrow, training camp. That's a lot. I know you're a young guy, but it's a lot of basketball. How do you keep your body in tune so you don't wear down and get injured?
A lot of water, good sleep. No, just, you know, I had some...
Do you worry about that?
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm just... I see the court, I'm going there, and I'm playing basketball. That's what I want to do, or that's what I'm going to do.
It's kind of what you've been doing your whole life,
yeah,
right?
So that's what I've been doing all my life, yeah.
So does it – I mean, you're still such a young guy, but does it ever become, or has it become yet, a job to you? Or is it you still love the game so much that that's just what you've always done and you keep doing it because that's your passion?
I think so. That's my job because I'm getting money for that, but – that's the job who I like to do, and right, that's the job who I love. Like, I feel amazing when I'm doing my job good. So that's the best job in my life. I think so.
Jonas, how much did you get a chance? You were busy this summer. How much did you get a chance to talk with your teammates? You probably didn't get a chance to work out with them much after summer league. But how much did you talk with them? Did you talk with Rudy, with Kyle, with these guys, stay in touch with them, DeMar, about, hey, what we're going to try and accomplish when I get back to Toronto with the Raptors?
We were talking with teammates who was in Las Vegas during the summer league. And, you know, we talked like, we got to do it. We got to do it this year because we have a new group of guys, and we can't fail once again.
When you look back to last year, put the injury aside for a second, the success you had at the early stages, but then the success you were having by the end of the year in terms of the increase in scoring, increase in touches in the post, rebounding, shot blocking, what do you want to do to take that next step even from there? Because you clearly showed improvement over the course of the season last year, but what's the next level for you now?
You know, I think so that coming just by doing the good work, so I'm going to keep doing my work, keep doing my pre-practice work, post-practice work, and you know I'm gonna succeed by doing the good work. So it's a lot of work to do this year. You know,
can you prepare for the way the league is preparing for you now? You know what I mean? Because as you get better and as you get more noticed, they're taking notice, yeah, and they're preparing for you. It's not going to be as easy. So is there any way to, for you personally to kind of ready yourself for that?
You know, that means I have to spend more time on the court just by doing the good work, as I said.
What did you work on most this summer, Jonas?
On my game reading, like how to understand a situation. I'm trying to be a smarter player, mm-hmm, as I can say. Also on my strength, on my body, you know.
If you could fill in the blank for me here, for this team to be successful this year, and I'm equaling success by, at the very least, a playoff appearance. I don't care what seed, but a playoff appearance. That's just me saying that. But for the Raptors to be successful, the team needs to blank.
Blank, you know, we have a really good players like DeMar, Rudy, Kyle, and we just need to put everybody together and have that chemistry in the team, then we can do a lot of good things.
Well, we appreciate the time and look forward to chatting over the course of the season. Thanks for this.
All right, thank
you
guys.
We'll continue with more from Raptors Media Day with Eric Smith, Paul Jones, right here on Sportsnet 590.ca.